And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this great thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Let us consider this passage with this thought in mind. The angels were singing. The angels were singing. Father God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these our people. And Lord, we pray that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, Amen. As we prepare to move into the Christmas season and move into the next year, read again this account of the birth of Jesus, which has been correctly called the greatest story ever told. But if we refresh our mind on this great story, we need to pause and picture in our mind what it must have been like to be out there on that night. Think about it. You're on the night shift, washing sheep, perhaps trying to stay awake and maybe doze a little while, when suddenly the sky lights up and an angel begins to unveil to you the wonders of God's plan for mankind. And suddenly again, the sky is filled with angels singing. What would go through your mind at a time like that? Well, we know what went through the shepherd's mind because the scripture has recorded it and reveals it. First there was fear, then there was anticipation, and they wanted to go and see. And then there was the evangelism because they wanted to go and tell what God had shown to them. And we would do well to model the shepherd's responses. First they heard the word about Jesus, then they went to see Jesus for themselves, and then they went to tell the world about Jesus. We should do likewise. But I have another reaction as well, curiosity. As the angels brought the good news to mankind, what made them break into song and praise? What made the angels sing as they brought the news? Was it that the news that they brought was so overwhelmingly good that singing was the most appropriate expression? That may well be the answer. But I believe that was only part of the answer. I believe that there was more. So let's examine the text so that we may be able to determine why the angels were singing. Looking at the text again in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angels were singing. Was it because God was fulfilling his promise to David that through his seed, Israel would be blessed? God had promised David that he would restore Israel through his seed, through David's seed. He promised that he would restore to Israel a kingdom that would never end. He promised that seed, that the seed of David would occupy that throne forever. And God made possible the fulfillment of that promise on this first Christmas night. God called David a man after his own heart. David had fought many great battles in the Lord's name. But as he approached the end of his life, David bemoaned the fact that while he slept in a great mansion, the tabernacle of God was a tent. So he decided to build a temple, a house for the Lord. So he asked the prophet Nathan if he thought it was a good idea to build a house for the Lord. And Nathan said, "God will be pleased. Go ahead and build." But Nathan spoke without asking God. And God has something different to say. He sent word to David, "You don't need to build a house for me, but I will build a house for you. With that, God established the Davidic covenant in which he promised to keep a descendant of David forever on the throne. Listen as Nathan relates God's promise to David. It comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest at your fathers, I will set up seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. The Davidic covenant was very important to the nation Israel. God had promised Israel that they would live in their own land, a land where they would no longer face the cruel opposition of pagan nations. God had promised Israel they would once again see a kingdom like the kingdom that David ruled in which all the world paid tribute to Israel, a kingdom where the law of God would be established in the heart of the people. God had promised Israel would have a king from the lineage of David. Now, this covenant has a near and a far fulfillment. God often uses a near and far fulfillment in his promises to his people. Solomon was the near fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. Jesus was the far fulfillment. In the near fulfillment, Solomon was the seed of David who actually built the temple for the Lord. The Lord gave Solomon the wealth and the knowledge to build the most magnificent temple in the world. But it was Christ who established the kingdom forever. Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah who would restore Israel to the former glory. This king would establish Israel in the land and would establish the kingdom in Israel. The fulfillment of the Davidic covenant was lying in a manger on that night when the angels sang to the shepherds. Could this be the reason the angels were singing? Israel had been waiting 1,000 years for this king. Why shouldn't the angels sing? Herod was in Jerusalem, Caesar was in Rome, but the true king was lying in a manger in baby clothes. Why shouldn't the angels sing? At the word of Caesar, men who were living would die. But this Christ child was a new kind of king. At his word, men who were dead would come back to life and start living again. So why shouldn't the angels sing? This was he of who Isaiah spoke when he wrote in Isaiah 9, beginning in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus was and is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant that God made to Israel. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Was this the reason that the angels were singing? Now that may well be. But I think there was something else that the angels sing. But we need to take a look at that. We back up to verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The angels were singing. Was it because God was fulfilling his promise to Abraham to bless the entire world through him? 1,000 years before God made the promise to David, God had made a promise to Abraham. God told Abraham that he would bless, through him, he would bless the entire world. He told him that his seed would be as numerous as the stars of the sky. God said that he would bless those who blessed Abraham and curse those who cursed him, and that through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And that seed that he spoke of was the baby Jesus that was born on the night that the angels were singing. Look at the scriptures, backing up to Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And then in Genesis 22:18, he repeated the promise to Abraham again. "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The seed that God spoke of to Abraham about was Jesus Christ. It was through this child that was born on this first Christmas night that God would reach out to the entire world. Abraham was called the father of the faithful. As Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, it was not just Israel that God had in mind when he promised to bless Abraham, but all those who came to him through faith. Through faith in this child that had just been born, God would deliver more descendants to Abraham than the stars of the sky or the sand on the seashore. Could this be the reason the angel was singing that night? Israel had been waiting for the promise of Abraham for 2,000 years. Why shouldn't the angel sing? This child had just come into the world, would wash away the sins of the world. This child came to fulfill the promise of God when he said, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." So why shouldn't the angels sing at the faithfulness of God? Jesus was the fulfillment of the covenant that God made to Abraham. Was this the reason the angels were singing? Now that could be. But there was, again, something else that the angel said that night that we need to take a look at. We'll go forward to verse 13 of chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." The angels were singing. Was it because God was revealing by his grace his great love for mankind? His great love for mankind. The angels might have sung Amazing Grace if it hadn't been written. That was the sentiment. They were witnesses of his great love. They were witnesses of God's great mercy. They had seen God's wrath in action. In the distant past, they had witnessed the rebellion of Satan and had seen one third of the angels of heaven cast down into the waiting room of hell. God's wrath was swift and was absolute. It was as if a giant trap door opened and those who had rebelled against God fell from heaven into the bottomless pit to await their appointment with eternal damnation. Satan and his followers await consignment to the lake of fire without the possibility of pardon. There was no savior sent for those angels who fell from heaven. There's no redemption for those angels who fell from their first estate. There's no reconciliation for angels who defected from the very bosom of God. There's no return. There is no hope. The angelic host that sang that night knew that for their fallen number, there was no savior. The angel was singing because they saw the great mercy that God poured out for mankind. The angel was singing because they saw the great love that God demonstrated to mankind by the birth of the savior on that cold winter night. There had been no savior for fallen angels, but to mankind, God had decided to be merciful. "But unto you," he said, the angel said, "unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. But unto you, peace is given. Peace from God. Peace among mankind. God has given man peace. Unto you, God's goodwill towards mankind is flowing." Not God's wrath, but God's goodwill towards all mankind. Why were the angels singing? I believe the angels were singing because God's grace was showing and joy was overflowing in heaven. Why were the angels singing? I believe the angels were singing because God's mercy was showing and joy was overflowing in heaven. Why were the angels singing? I believe the angels were singing because God's love was showing and joy was overflowing in heaven. And we'll never know until we get to heaven exactly why the angels were singing that night. But we do know why we should be singing. We should sing because Christ came to save us. Christ died to save us. Christ rose from the dead, from the grave to save us. We should sing because he rose so that you and I could be assured of eternal life. Now that's a reason to sing. Jesus did his part. He came, he died, and he rose to show the Father's love for the world. As it's written in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on him right now, and your place in that heavenly choir will be reserved by God. Believe on him, and you'll be able to sing with the angels throughout all eternity. Believe on him and you know the joy deep down in your soul that comes from placing all your trust above. Believe on him and you know the peace that surpasses all understanding. Believe on him and you know the love of God is real and powerful and faithful to the saving of souls. In a moment, we're going to have an altar call. If you never surrender to God, you may never know why the angel was singing on that first Christmas night. But the moment you turn it all over to God, the moment you say, "Yes, Lord," you will know why the angel will sing and you'll join and give praise to God. If I were you, I would not wait another moment. If I were you, I would come clean before the Lord. If I were you, I would throw myself on the mercy of God. If I were you, I would not wait another week, another day, another moment, another second. I would come humbly before the Lord and receive his great gift of salvation. If I were you, I'd thank God for Jesus' death on the cross to pay for my sins. Thank God for his Holy Spirit that allows me to live free from the power of sin day by day. If I were you, I would thank God from the bottom of my heart for the rest of my days on into eternity. Thank God in the morning. Thank God at noontime. Thank God in the evening for the rest of my days. That's what I'm going to do. What about you? What about you? Shall we stand as the choir leads us in something?